You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. It's a few hours before kick-off between Manchester United and Chelsea at Old Trafford. It's a bitterly cold Mancunian day. A day for gloves, snooze, hats, double socks, layers of any kind. And sniffling noses, cups of tea and Bovril, mince pies, burgers, anything warm. It's certainly not the kind of weather that makes me miss selling fanzines, but there is a new United we stand out today, including a piece I helped towards on Copenhagen Away, which feels like quite a long time ago in one sense, but was only at the start of November. Of course, we've had Istanbul since then as well. Two games that promised so much, but in the end delivered so little. And I hope that's not the engraving on the gravestone of Erik ten Hag's United career, because that first season promised so much and moments this season have promised a lot. But at the moment, we're not seeing it, and very, very familiar stories and feelings are beginning to, well, not beginning to, have been floating around this week. It's that kind of feeling of apathy that has swung around every so often over the last few years. Well, it's back. It's a Wednesday night fixture under the lights against Chelsea. It doesn't help that Chelsea are not the force that, like us, that they once were. It doesn't help that the two teams in this fixture are very hard to work out, are underperforming given their spend and status. But there's certainly not the traditional excitement you might get for a night game between two teams with the number of talented players that United and Chelsea do. I'm heading to Old Trafford now, in the darkness. Let's see what the mood is like around there before kick-off. I think one thing's for sure, and that is the Stretford End and the whole of Old Trafford will be desperate to show their support to the manager, Erik ten Hag, to prove that supporters back him, even if maybe, according to some stories, the players don't. And there's my tram, so I better run.
New United, we stand. You got the hay, mate? You okay?
Yeah,
out today, £3.
We stand to issue out today, £3.
I spoke about apathy before, and I think you can certainly feel that as a football fan. Definitely watching on TV for certain away games, I can certainly feel that I haven't got a ticket to, or home games that I'm not going to. And I think you can feel that before you drag yourself out of the house and to that football ground. But I don't think you can be ever apathetic when you see those red letters lit up of Manchester United. I don't think you can feel apathetic when you get that waft of grilling onions and grilled cheese and grilled burgers, when you hear the refrain of fanzine sellers, when you see bustling people, when you hear dads and lads commenting about them going to their first game, or you hear people saying, oh, it's changed a lot since I last came, and you think, like, some people are doing this for the first time in 15 years, some people are coming to their very first game. It's all, whatever the game and however your team's doing, and this isn't an exclusively Manchester United thing, those are just magical things. So I don't think it can be apathy. I think what it makes you realise is what you're actually feeling pretty much is just kind of sadness at how things are going, and that's probably the way with United at the moment. I think there's a bit of defiance, and that defiance will build ahead of kickoff, as I mentioned earlier, with support from the manager, because I think fans can see, while appreciating that he's made a lot of mistakes, as we've spoken about in recent episodes, fan can see that it's not all his doing, these bad results, and that while he needs to improve, there are other things out of his control, and there are players who are letting him down, and that defiance will grow. But sadness, because we've seen this pattern before, and I just hope, as I said earlier, that doesn't happen. But let's see how things go tonight. When you stood in the shadow of the Stretford End and you've walked through the Munich Tunnel and seen Sir Bobby Charlton stand lit up and seen people going to take photos with the Trinity statue and standing next to Sir Matt Busby statue, then yeah, I don't think you can be apathetic. After all, it is Manchester United. Let's head inside. I'm at Old Trafford. I'm with both of the Thomas brothers, Nathan, who works for the foundation, Kieran, who works in the museum and various other departments of the club. 10 minutes before the end of that half, especially given it was the 8:15 kickoff, I was thinking, right, let's all head home. One half is fine. I've seen a goal. United are winning. It's already 9 o'clock. Let's all get back home out of the cold. And then typical United, having played really well, I thought, let a team go through our midfield and concede a shit goal. It's always a shame when the goal you concede is bad.
Yeah, disappointing.
Nathan to begin with, by the way.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, disappointing. I mean, on the one hand, better, generally, much improving. There's definitely been a response, and Scott seems to take his goal well. But yeah, frustrating. We've had the Bruno penalty miss, Scott with a free header. And then, yeah, as Javi says, I've seen like a very poor goal to give away. I think I'll need to see it from a different angle, but it looked like keeper could be at fault, but we can't really see if there was a deflection or not. But yeah, kind of, on the one hand, better, but yeah, frustrating.
He made a brilliant save a few minutes before that. In terms of the atmosphere, a fair amount of defiance as Erik ten Hag walked out, Kieran?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it seemed defiant as he walked out. I think it seems pretty clear that, you know, the fans are certainly behind him now, and, you know, we've had a lot of disappointing performances recently, but I think you can see that although he's not perfect, I think ten Hag is evidently trying to do the right thing. He's trying to implement standards at the club which a lot of his predecessors haven't done while they've been at the helm. So, you know, I think the club needs structure, and I think you've got to have faith in the man.
Yeah, in fairness though, we were talking pre-match and talking about those standards that he set last season and about how he's making it hard for himself by not following those standards as much this season, by playing players who have wanted to leave, have been United have tried to sell, and who don't perform regularly, like Anthony Martial. And I mean, tonight feels a better return to players who are performing, players in their right positions, and it's gone all right so far. It should be a lot better, as Nathan says. But
yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think, you know, obviously, like you say, in regards to the players that we've been playing, who you probably would have seen out of the club during the summer, I think we've obviously had a lot of injury issues which might have forced us into playing those said players. But you know, I think you're looking at tonight, and I think there's been a lot of good attacking play, but I think, you know, it's the same old issues that you saw it in Copenhagen, you saw it at Galatasaray, that, you know, great attacking play, but I think Scholes was saying on the TNT, ill-disciplined, you know, you can kind of, the game can turn at any moment, you can look completely in control, and suddenly you're behind 5 minutes later.
That's what happens when you don't convert your chances.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
It's like it's two teams. You were mentioning, Nathan, the game here last season, which I'd basically forgotten about. I couldn't even tell you what time of year it was. Late season?
Just before. It was two games, like our penultimate game of the season. We had Chelsea, which got us top four, and then Fulham, and right. Then the cup final.
I remember coming out of it kind of happy. Like, yeah, obviously, we won 4-1, happy, but it was that game was more chaotic than this one. But again, there's that sense of two teams who you can play through so easily, but it doesn't really matter because both of them are going to miss almost all of their chances.
It's really true, yeah. I think both teams are kind of at similar stages for some different, some similar reasons. But yeah, I think it's one of these where, given how things are going at the moment, it's almost kind of you can't read too much into anything. Obviously, it's been better tonight, and you almost just have to take it game by game. Get as many points as we can in this kind of period of uncertainty, both on and off the pitch. Ten Hag, I think, as you alluded to before, I think lost his way a little bit with certain things, but he's also dealing with a complete melee of a situation, which kind of will lead to situations like that. For example, you know, Martial, yeah, very puzzling to start him at Newcastle, but he's trying to manage Højlund's minutes. Everything has got a reason or a caveat behind it, but it all looks like Reguilón's coming on.
Interesting. Yeah, Reguilón just dribbling out of the tunnel. It almost feels like the news in the week. I think had the news in the week about players briefing the press that they don't like Ten Hag's training methods, we would have come into this game with, I mean, fairly pissed off with Ten Hag and the recent decisions, in-game decisions at Galatasaray, Copenhagen, the team selection at Newcastle, a few other things like bits and bobs. And that story coming out has kind of galvanised United support behind Ten Hag instead, which from my perspective is a good thing, but also I wish the players would stop leaking information.
100%, yeah. I mean, whether it's the players, their agents, their families, it's a massive own goal because it really has just galvanised. And I think it was generally there, United fans, back in Ten Hag, but it certainly kind of reinforced that of the belief that, okay, wherever you rank this manager in terms of having the ability to do the job, the last thing we want is for another manager to go and some of these players to outlast yet another manager and get yet another chance. This is an opportunity to stick by someone who has done some really good things. It's been difficult so far this season, but it's a storm and we just got to ride it through, I think.
Yeah, final thing. It's, what's the time now? Nearly 9:30 and we're about to start the second half of football. It's mad. In a week where a new TV broadcast deal's been agreed, however many billions of pounds, yeah, and you're coming to the Amazon Prime games and getting an 8:15 kickoff, It is just an absolute mockery of match going supporters, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you've seen it more and more. It happened at Newcastle last week, with loads of travelling Reds going all the way to the northeast. 8 o'clock.
8 p.m. on a Saturday.
8 p.m. on a Saturday, yeah. You know, couldn't get a lot. Couldn't get back. You know, there was one of my colleagues who went up with this young lad and had to stay over because they had no mode of transport to get back to Manchester. So, yeah, and obviously got tonight. Boxing Day is 8:15. So, you know, it's cropping up more and more, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. Second half, confident?
Who knows? Who the hell knows? Oh, take a few chances, get to 5-1.
Hoyland just can't.
I would not be surprised with any score. Whatever,
yeah.
Chelsea for United, a draw. Yeah, you just, like, hopefully it'll be entertaining and hopefully we'll get a win.
Just enjoying the half-time playlist, Old Trafford, changing for the first time in, what, all season?
I think it's since, like, is it the Brighton game? A pal of mine is
mid-September.
It's ridiculous. It's a pal of mine is in a very good Manchester band called the Rosellas, highly recommend them. And they were on the Old Trafford playlist for what I thought would be one game, but turned out to be every single game up until this point, which I'll leave the listeners to kind of ascertain what that means in a wider perspective. But yeah.
All right, we'll see you at full time. Outside the Stretford end, Nathan.
Yeah.
Full-time thoughts.
Happy days. Thought we were much better second half, and we, you know, played pretty well first half, but I thought we stopped them playing through us, which was good. And yeah, the goal was coming when it came. Should have been more, but yeah, back to winning ways.
Happy.
Kieran, full-time thoughts.
Thought it was a lot better second half. Obviously, we took the chance. I think we could have had the game killed off. Although it could be any score at half-time, but, you know, it was nice to see us get the lead and then, take the win home.
Yeah. Francesco, what was he said at the end? I love Man United.
I love Manchester United more than anything in the world. And they played tonight the best I've seen in, what, 4 months? They played for the shirt tonight. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll get home and there'll be a load of people on Twitter saying we were too easy to play through and
yeah, we were.
But ultimately, you come to see, like...
It felt like a game. It felt like a game.
You come to see energy and a bit of a game plan.
Playing for a badge and...
I recommend any United fan watching a United game next to Cheska, because any kind of negativity is just sort of expelled from you. I'm like, we're winning the fucking Champions League now, as far as I'm concerned.
When you're Manchester United, the fans, they get us over the line more than any other club I've ever experienced, and it's true. And tonight, they heard us.
You can see the players were desperate for it as well. We always take the piss out of Dallow a little bit for getting the crowd up. Reggie almost giving it some as well. But I think it shows that they need that confidence boost. They're lacking it.
They do. And do you know what? Even the best Man United teams needed that confidence boost. They always have done. That's in Manchester United's DNA, is the confidence boost, the fans being on side, that voice. It gets them over the line, always. And tonight, I think it made a difference.
I think it did. Kieran, any standout players, apart from double goal scorer McTominay again?
McSauce, yeah. He's having a good season, as it turns out. But yeah, I thought for Maguire, great again. You know, props to the guy. Great, Luke Shaw. It's great having him back in the lineup again. I think, you know, such an assured figure. You've got a lot of confidence in the guy. You know, he's never really going to make a mistake. But yeah, I think there was quite a few in there.
Garnacho, lively.
Exactly, yeah, of course, yeah. You know, he's kind of making that left-hand side his own now. You know, you want to be looking over your shoulder if you're Mr. Rashford. But, yeah, very good, very good.
Or looking onto the pitch if you're Mr. Rashford.
Exactly, yeah, as it turns out. Yeah, for Anthony, you know, pretty good. So, happy days.
Yeah, came in here a bit apathetic. Leave, like Cheska saying, I love Man United.
Exactly, yeah, that's it. Yeah, up the Reds.
Bring on Saturday.
Sports Social Podcast Network.